list goes on down the line, and the list goes on.
List goes on. This will be a shorter edition. I have to GTFO, but we actually missed a couple super chats, and some came in towards the end. Wild Boy, have you seen his physical progress lately?
Well, I should. We did a story on grapgrief.com about it.
I know. I mean, like, Jesus Christ, that man is turning into a physical monster. So happy for that guy. One of the best people I've ever known. He sent a super chat and said, how come NXT is allowed to go over 10 p.m., but Raw can't go to 11:05 anymore? That's an interesting question. I broke the story that Raw wasn't going to have an overrun anymore. I think if they asked, they could probably do one
for sure.
Every once in a while. NXT's is inconsistent. They don't always go over, but sometimes they do. I don't have a good answer for that, but I'm going to find out the answer to that. It's very interesting that the lesser rated show gets the overrun, but I think part of the overrun probably has something to do with, and this is my hunch, the fact that when WWE got this deal, Jimmy, it was to compete with AEW, and they wanted to stay later to battle AEW. Raw doesn't have that.
And I think that's the reason why they ended it with Raw.
Yes.
Because with Raw, it became traditional because they did it to get the one up on WCW. And now they're in a landscape where the third hour is the lowest rated of the night now.
And it was a pain in the ass for them to work around it after that.
Yeah.
Because your NCIS shows or whatever aren't like, they're not 53 minutes long. They're hour long blocks.
Right.
Tim Ruzza says Styles, Balor, Ricochet, Zayn, and AEW soon. Also, AEW Australia, ASA, please, Tony, buddy, ain't nobody going to Australia or New Zealand right now, unfortunately.
I also don't see Styles going to AEW. I think he's pretty content finishing out in WWE. At least he said that in interviews.
I would love to see, like AEW pop up in Australia and New Zealand, but the protocols are too strict there. They ain't going to drag everything over there. Ricochet, I think, is under contract for a while. Styles is. I don't know when Zayn's ends. But I could see them having interest, and I mean, they fit the profile there, the more athletic people as well. Hannah says, Chris posted this chat, longtime fan, first time super chatter. Just wanted to say hello and thank you for all the hard work. I'm sorry I missed these. We've got somebody that gathers them on all the weekly shows, but I'm like, oh, you know what? Nobody gives a shit about us on Wednesdays. I can handle it. And then we do really good. But thank you so much. It means a lot. And Joel Wood says, with Brian still having a good relationship with WWE, do you see him actually trying to cultivate a working relationship between AEW and WWE? I'm sure if they could, he'd be the first one to try to bridge that gap. I wish it would happen. Because
I saw a photo, I want to say it was 2016-17, somewhere in there, of Tony Khan backstage at a WWE show where he brought them a gift.
Yeah.
I can't recall what it was, but he brought them a gift. I saw pictures of him posing with guys like Titus O'Neil, and there were captions on the photos like Jacksonville Jaguars, whatever his title is, Jacksonville Jaguars, whatever, Tony Khan. So obviously they were aware of who he was to the extent that he was backstage bringing presents and stuff. I just don't see Vince having it in him. And again, the fact that he allowed Jericho to do Broken Skull sessions.
Yeah.
Maybe he's softening. I just don't see it. I could see Vince thinking, you know how I always said to you, what's the benefit to AEW of this Impact deal unless you get the tape library?
Yeah.
Which I still kind of contend. I mean, yeah, they got Gallows and Anderson, whatever. But I think Vince would look at AEW like, what do they provide me? Even though they have a wealth of talent that could probably make Raw and SmackDown better, I think that'd be Vince's mentality.
And Pro Wrestling Unlimited brought up a good thing. Like, Tony Khan has been backstage at a WWE show before AEW. He brought the Jack merch.
Yeah, like, I just said that.
I know, but yeah, he brought them Jags merch, which bummer. Oh, sorry. I'm going to a Bengals Jags game this month
on Thursday
because it's a Thursday night game, so I have the night off. Yeah, I'm going there, sitting really close. Spent some good money on those tickets. I didn't get comped because I'm on Tony Khan's payroll or anything. So I'm going to need that raise, man, really, really soon. Or maybe you can expense it because, I mean, it is kind of AEW related, right?
Yeah.
Right?
So I want to make another point about All Out. There have been preliminary reports that All Out could do as much as 200,000 buys before all is said and done, between traditional pay-per-view, iPay-per-view, everything, upwards of 200,000 buys. Brandon Thurston posted a bar graph on his Twitter account, which is at Brandon Thurston, which showed WWE pay-per-view numbers prior to the launch of the network.
Yeah.
So this is WWE pay-per-view numbers prior to February of 2014. Most of the pay-per-views between 2011 and 2014, with the exception of the big ones, you know, the Rumble, WrestleMania, whatever, most of them did 200,000 buys or less.
Yeah.
And so if AEW is able to get anywhere close to that number, that really kind of tells you how they're doing in comparison to WWE pre-network.
Yeah, and so, I mean, we always like wondered, okay, what is this a net positive for them? Is it a break even for them? Because if you're moving to the network and so many people subscribe to the network that it erases that pay-per-view cost or the pay-per-view thing, but more people get to see your show, it's like, okay, it's probably worth it then because you have less people pirating your shows. But Phil Felice brings up a good point. Remember when 300,000 buys for a WWF show was bad? And now we're like, damn, AEW cracking 100,000? Like, that's nuts to think about how the landscape has changed, but it has changed. I mean, so many people became cord cutters because of streaming services. Now you have so many streaming services that you're paying the same amount that you were for cable to begin with.
Yeah, and again, like, you know, we know that Triller had that issue with pirating. And I remember, I think I told you this on the air one time, Tommy Dreamer, he used to do those hardcore iPay-per-views. Mm-hmm. And I know people within that company, and they had major issues with pirating. And so that's part of the landscape, too. And so maybe you know, All Out would have done 300,000 without that.
Yeah.
I mean, who knows? That's just kind of how it is.
Oh, man. I'm excited for tonight, Jimmy.
You know what's funny? I was waiting for you to read the next super chat. Then I realized, oh, yeah, we're on Select now.
But, like, I'm going to a show as a fan. I'm taking my wife. She's never been to an AEW show. And we would watch Dynamite. And my wife, who is a, I don't want to say a casual fan, because she knows, like, she knows who I talk to. You know, I tell her everything. She was watching Dynamite, and she's like, I want to go to one of those fucking shows. And
did your wife say verbatim, I want to go to one of those fucking shows?
Yeah, probably, but she's a, I'm not going to say it. Yeah, I'm not going to expand on that. Kayfabe on that. But Chris says, Wild Thing in front of that crowd is going to hump. I hope Punk's there. I hope
I'm sure
Danielson is there. I hope Cole is there.
Yeah.
And me last week, I was so bummed because Andrade and Pac was off the show. And then I get to watch it tonight live.
Yeah. I got a question for you, and this is kind of a obscure kind of. What led to them pivoting from the original Wild Thing song to the one from Major League? Because I think the one they've chosen now is a lot better for John Moxley. What led to them pivoting?
I would imagine just realizing that that one would be better. Okay. I haven't heard specifically, but I do wonder, like, did they have to pay for rights to both of those?
Oh, yeah, they would have had to, yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
But it depends because Tony Khan sometimes has come out and said that he's flat out bought the song, like bought the IP.
Yes.
And then other times you license. So
like
if
the Brody thing he bought in perpetuity.
Well, I think he also did with Jungle Boy's song. I think.
Yeah.
I think he actually flat out bought the rights. But if you're only licensing, then now that you're no longer using the old Wild Thing song, you're good. Yeah. But if he flat out bought the rights to the song, that's different. You know.
As we wrap up, David says, "Does the goat tier include coming from England?" I mean, quite honestly, a plane ticket from England is probably cheaper than a plane ticket from Lexington, Kentucky. I mean,
I need to add terms and conditions to that tier.
Let me look. London to Toronto.
$18,000.
$400 flight. That's probably better.
Yeah, we could probably hook some. Now, granted, I don't know the quarantine rules, if there are any right now. We have to figure that out.
Sending me to Toronto. I'm just going to be up there every Wednesday, Jimmy. That's what I need. I'm going to be doing the
that's what I need too, Sean.
Yeah, it is. It is. Just set me up an office there. There you go.
I'd wake up Wednesday morning and I'd look at my wife. I'd go, fuck, Sean's coming again.
Well, guys, thank you all so much. I appreciate you all. The Q&A show, I'll probably do that Friday. I know that I usually do that on Thursdays, but everything's kind of one day behind. Thank you all so much. Please spread the word of Fightful Select. It's one thing for me to talk about what we have, but it means a lot when you guys put it over out there We got some cool stuff coming. Until next time, we're out.